live from our living room, it's From Long Distance to Marriage with Andrea and Rich. We're a once long-distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and made it through to marriage.
We talk long-distance, marriage, and relationships. Hello and welcome to episode 16 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This episode's slightly different because the episode's going to be focusing on an email that we've received from someone who's asked us for some advice when you're planning to meet your long-distance partner for the first time. So the email itself is someone who's recently started listening to our podcast, and they said they're going to be seeing their long-distance...
Or meeting for the first...
Yeah, for the first time at the end of May. They're considered never met, and she's wondering, firstly, what are some ways to prepare yourself? Then she makes the point that her family's concerned because she's young, but an adult, we don't know how old, and that she's going to be travelling by herself. And then she asks, what are some great travelling tips, emotional tips, and just general tips to pass the time so she doesn't stress until May? So that's going to be the focus of today's email. Today's episode.
Today's email.
And then we also put it onto Instagram to get a couple of...
We did, yes.
People's insights into what they want to hear.
Do you want to share that, or do you want me to share that?
I've got it here, bear with me. So the question, if I can find it. Oh, here we go. So basically, we said we're going to be talking about this, and we asked what people want us to also cover on this. So one of them was...
Or if they had any suggestions as well.
Or suggestions, yeah. So someone said, I think talking about safety is important. Sadly, there are catfishes out there. Because we watch Catfish now and then.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
And we have both made the point that I don't think it existed when we were talking, and if it did, it may have put us off.
Yeah.
Or certainly put some doubt in the mind. And then the other response we had that we'll cover is we arranged separate accommodations to avoid expectations in the bedroom. So
those are two really good tips.
Two really good tips and topics. So that's going to be the focus of today.
Yeah, and I think this isn't really the episode we had planned for this week, but it was something we were excited to do. We were excited to address someone's particular question and thought, actually, this is a really important question that a lot of people are probably dealing with, and that I dealt with, and you did too, to a lesser extent, I think. But as I was the one doing the traveling, and as a young woman, I can really relate to whoever this girl is. Don't want to say any names. So, firstly, preparing to meet, I think. For us, that was the exciting part, just, you know, making all the plans, what we were going to do with our time together, where we were going to go, what we were going to see.
But before the fun stuff, it may be where I think we can link in the whole catfishing thing to this bit, because, I mean, I know what we did. We weren't really thinking catfishing was even a possibility at the time. But I think stage one of preparing to meet is just make sure there's no doubt in your mind that, you know, what I think the common thing we see on catfish when we watch it is, they won't video chat with me, and there's always some sort of nagging doubt that they won't do this. They've been a bit difficult about this. Just make sure that you have had a video chat, that everything adds up with them.
1000%. If this person has not spoken to you on the phone, or, you know, whatever, like a voice conversation on some sort of device, and also will not FaceTime or won't even do one or the other, you need to have done both of these things. You need to see this person through a camera live, not just a picture, FaceTime, Skype, whatever. You need to see that, and you also need to hear their voice. Now
but even with, like, now that social media is so prolific, like, I don't think there's any harm in saying, reach out to some of their friends on Facebook.
Absolutely.
And just saying, like, is this person who they say they are?
I mean,
do a Google image search for their pictures, make sure it's not linked to any other profiles.
It's just so easy to fake who you are now online. When I think we had you made the point that it wasn't really a thing then, and I think that's true. It wasn't...
I'm sure catfishing was a thing, but the show didn't exist.
No, yeah, obviously. But I don't even know if it was a bigger thing. It was such a harder thing to do because you couldn't just be 100% online
Let
me finish this, please. Online was such a tricky thing to do, and it was so limited, like what was available. You know, you had to supplement with phone conversations, you know, so like we had numbers for each other.
No, I disagree. Like the amount of... The big concern back then was online grooming. There'd be adults in chat rooms and forums and things, and they're, you know, yeah, maybe having a relationship was harder, but there was a lot of
I'm not saying the bad things weren't happening. I wouldn't say that at all. I mean,
but I think that's in the same ballpark as catfishing.
It is, but all I'm saying is that you can make it so much more elaborate now because there's so many more things available. Yeah. Like you can make a fake Facebook profile, fake Instagram.
The deception can be much bigger now.
Yes, there's so many more ways you can do it. And you can do everything online. You can have a complete presence. Even if you're who you say you are, like, you don't have to use the phone calls. You don't have to write letters. I'm saying because there wasn't as many ways to communicate when we did it, we had supplement in other ways. And I just feel like that made you know each other better.
We in particular did heavily supplement in other ways.
Yeah, so we wrote letters. I had your address. You know, like, we had actual physical phone numbers of our houses. I think
what disturbs me the most with the catfishing thing is when you see the show, and some of them are doing it for years. So someone may think, and I probably would have felt like, oh, I know this person, so we've been talking for 5 years. But you see some of these episodes, it's like, oh, we've been talking for 8 years. I mean, it's a hell of a long time to keep a lie up like that.
Yeah, it is.
So I think the time you've been talking isn't enough to feel safe. Completely confident and safe. So, yeah, reach out to their friends, do a Google image search, make sure that, oh, hang on, I'm talking to Dave, but he's linked to a profile for a Tim over here. And just maybe watch a few episodes, see what they're doing to uncover, and just
you'll know.
Just make sure that you're...
And especially as, I mean, you know, obviously sometimes it's a man going to meet the woman, but because we're addressing the question from a woman who's asked us, and, you know, I did it as a woman, there's a lot to be said for women's intuition. And I think men too, if something doesn't feel right, you will have a gut feeling. Like these people on Catfish, they reach out to the show because something doesn't feel right. And yeah, they're all hooked on it. And of course it's TV, so probably parts of it are, you know, there's some drama added to it to make it more interesting. But you'll know if something doesn't feel right, and you'll probably know the best ways to start figuring it out. And that's something we did too. You mentioned like talking to each other's friends. It was never intentional, but I did speak to a couple of your friends.
Yeah, we used to
group chat, all of us.
We had MSN, like, webcam with our staying around a friend's house.
Yeah, or like Rich, another friend of Rich's called Rich, who was so funny because we talked to when we were like 20, and then he ended up being in our wedding. So, you know, I mean,
yeah,
get involved.
Just, I mean, see their life, really.
Because I think you are very limited when you're long distance, and especially when you meet online, that you only know a very, very small slice of their life, and that's the part that involves you. Obviously, if they're quite open and stuff, then you know more. But when you meet someone in a normal way, face-to-face, you meet them through school or work or at a pub or a club, you meet their friends, you know a lot more about their life. So it can be scary. So I think those are really great ideas. Just try and do a little bit of research and find that out. But 100%.
So once you're confident that they're real, then the preparation for what you're going to do together.
Do not book a ticket or plan a road trip or anything until you have at least spoken to this person over the phone properly and the voice sounds right. Well, and you FaceTimed or video chatted in some way with them.
Mention a road trip is a good point too. I mean, even if you're confident they're real, blah, 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 when you first meet, do you want to be planning to do things completely on your own with this person? Because you still don't necessarily know their intentions. You don't know if they're a good person, if the, do you know what I mean? You could still get into trouble with them.
Yeah. I didn't mean plan a road trip with them. I meant a road trip to get there. It wasn't like, maybe it's only a 6-hour drive and you don't have to fly the whole, you know.
But it still raises the question, I think, that you may think, oh yeah, they're real. But I mean, like for us, you know, we stayed at where I was living with my mom and stepdad, and, you know, and then when I stayed with you, it was around family again. So,
well, for our line, that could have made it worse. They could have been freaks. You all could have been freaks.
You all could have been freaks. It's unlikely that you're going to get raped and murdered when the parents are at home.
Well, they could have been part of, you know, you don't know. They could not
You'd
have
to
your
be
parents.
Incredibly
like,
unlucky to run into, like,
people are unlucky.
Like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre's family.
I think we need to be realistic and not start scaremongering.
Yeah, I think it's more realistic that you say you're more likely to have one person who...
Well, I think it depends.
I don't think that's unrealistic. That's just being sensible. It's make sure you're staying somewhere where there's multiple people, maybe, or, you know.
It depends on the situation. You know, I mean, you might have been talking to this person for years and talked to their family, and there genuinely is no doubt in your mind, and this isn't a concern. You know, I mean, if they have their own place, I would suggest having maybe a backup plan if something doesn't seem right, or maybe you get... So, say...
The thing is... They could be who they say they are and all that, but people, you're still not going to know everything about them. People still have secrets. The people who...
People can have secrets, doesn't mean they do.
Okay, but the people who do go around, you know, doing those things to other people, normally aren't bragging about it. So even if you met them in real life, so I'm just saying, take the same precautions as you would if you met them in a pub, or you know, you pick them up somewhere. You would still just have your wits about you.
Yeah. Well, I think having a backup plan is really important. So, I mean, this was kind of a fluke and was by chance. So obviously, you know, I lived in Arizona, Rich lived in England. Our next door neighbors, so the people, they still live next door to my parents. The wife is English, and she's from an hour away from where Rich's family lived. And her brother actually lived like only half an hour away from where Rich's family lived when we were meant to meet the first time when we were 20. And so my mom actually reached out to our neighbor and said, look, you know, our daughter's going to England to meet this boy, and I just want to make sure she has a backup plan. So our neighbor gave us her brother's address and phone number, so that for whatever reason, if it didn't pan out, we didn't like each other as much as we thought, or I didn't feel right about it, I could go and stay, you know, with a family. I'd never met them, but, you know, it's a better alternative than thinking, oh, shit, I'm here in England. I have nowhere to go, nowhere to stay, and this hasn't worked out. Another alternative is maybe finding, like, a lot of you probably won't know someone else in that town or in the area. Maybe find, like, a hotel that has a late cancellation fee or, sorry, a late cancellation policy where there's no fee and it's refundable. Just have a little hotel room booked that's nearby just in case. First of all, like that person said, arranging separate bedroom accommodation so there's no sexual expectations. Yeah. You might feel the first night like, this is overwhelming. I just need some, it might all seem fine.
Well, you may feel that you don't want to
spend the night straight away.
Yeah. But they equally may feel like there's pressure too because, oh, I've known you for months or years or whatever.
And you may just want to have somewhere that you can go and take a shower and get all the travel off of, you know. It might just be a good idea. You may get there and think, you know, I don't need that. And you call up and cancel, and that's fine too. But I think just having some sort of contingency plan can make you feel a little bit safer if safety is an issue or a concern.
Well, safety should be a concern.
Oh, yeah, it is. But I'm just, particularly if it's a big concern. So that's just an idea.
No. I think make safety a concern.
Yeah, I'm not
saying. Don't be scared, but
yeah.
Pay mind to it. And like do that, even if you're not worried. Have a plan.
Yeah, just I mean, in case. If you're concerned about the cost of a hotel, Airbnb's everywhere now. And a lot of them, yeah, you might have to pay one night. But for the sake of your safety, what's $100 if you you know, or whatever?
Yeah, I think, look, you know this person to, and you know that person to the extent that they allow you to know them mm-hmm. online. So, okay, fine. Maybe you found someone who is giving you 99, 100% of themselves, and there's nothing much more to find out, but more likely is you don't know everything about this person you meet for the first time.
And those may not be bad things that you don't know.
They may not be bad things. It's just so easy to get caught up in the excitement and the moment and think, oh, I'm going to meet, you know, the love of my life, and it's all so romantic and a fairy tale and all this and that. And actually, you're still meeting someone who is in parts a stranger.
Yeah.
And treat it as such, and have have a backup plan, have somewhere else to stay. You know, if they live on their own and you don't know the area at all because you live in a different country, just think, would I be doing this if I'd met them any other way? Is this safe?
Yeah.
Yeah, just ask yourself some questions. Be sensible. But if you're not currently worried about it, I'm not saying start to worry, but just think there's a good reason. It's like when you get in a plane. You haven't got to be worried about crashing, but they still do the safety.
Well, like you said, don't be scared, but make safety your concern.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Absolutely.
I mean, by all means, this should be an exciting time if you're about to meet someone for the first time and you've been waiting. But yeah, I mean, you got to be sensible. This is your life and you've only got one.
And that's not just women meeting men. You know, men need to be careful too.
Yeah.
And, you know,
absolutely.
Generally speaking, men aren't as at risk as women, I'd say. But on the flip side of that, sometimes it can be easier to get duped as a man because you have a confidence that nothing can happen to you.
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe it's a different type of danger. Maybe you're less likely to get raped or whatever, but you could still
be manipulated in some way.
You can
be manipulated.
You can be
scammed.
Totally robbed and scammed. And so don't think just because you're a guy and
you
can handle yourself that nothing can happen to you.
And you can still be hurt. I mean, it might just be that, like, if it is a catfishing, a catfishing scenario, you know, yeah, maybe you're not physically in danger, but you could be really hurt. So that's why the investigating or just asking the right questions ahead of time is really important. And another thing that we did, because again, we'll get to the part because the person that wrote in, she asked about, you know, kind of reassuring her family. something my parents did, and I was embarrassed at the time. I was 20 years old. But they said, my dad in particular said, I need to talk to his parents.
Yeah, he spoke to my mom, didn't he?
And I'm glad he did. I was a little bit embarrassed at the time, but my parents were like that anyway. Like, I wasn't allowed to drive in the car with other kids until I was able to drive. Like, they were very thorough, and I'm glad now because they probably saved me from a lot of trouble or potential accidents and pain. So that might be another thing. Maybe ask to speak to some of the other family members. Like, I know you mentioned friends, but if they do live with their parents or they live with a sibling, maybe get to know them a little bit, because even if there's nothing wrong with the situation, you might just not get along with one of them, and you want to know that. Like, oh, I don't really want to stay in the house with this person.
I mean, that's another thing I was going to say on this whole thing about you can still be hurt and have a backup plan and all that. You may get there, and it, you know, for us and a lot of people, maybe most people, it was exactly as we had hoped it would be.
Or better, yeah.
But I'm sure there are scenarios where you meet in person and think, actually, this isn't what I expected it to be.
And see, I've experienced that on a local scale. You know,
yeah, but on a local scale, you can go home. But if you've travelled thousands of miles, or even just hundreds of miles, whatever, you've travelled to meet someone, there's two things going on. One, you might think, oh, shit, maybe they think this is really good and this is a difficult conversation I need to have. And if you're really far from home, like your flight's in 2 weeks, you don't feel obligated to stay with them. If you've got that backup plan of somewhere to go, or in your case, it was your neighbour's family, but it might be, like you said, book an Airbnb. But again, just have an exit plan for if it's not all about safety and danger. It's just about, oh, this is not what I expected it to be.
Yeah, and like when I'm, I think we talked about this in our
first. This episode's a real downer. I don't think this is what the person
wants. Well, we're just getting the safety stuff out of the way, and then we're going to go on to the other stuff. The one thing that we did as well, when I came to meet Rich, his mom had the spare room ready for me just in case, you know, even if she's like, even if I wanted some space, wanted to get away, wanted a nap, you know, whatever. And to be fair, I mainly just
got gas and want to fart in peace as a spare room. You can get
into. I think I just kept my suitcases in there a bit.
Yeah.
It was really cute because they had just got married, so she had, like, wedding chocolates on the night's bedside table for me. It was really cute. So, yeah, I think just use your common sense, feel things out. If something doesn't feel right, don't do anything.
Yeah.
So now we'll start talking about the more nice and exciting and fun stuff, which is preparing to meet. So earlier on, I think before it gets down to crunch time, in terms of, like, it being the last couple of weeks before you're going to go, before that, it's all really planning what you're going to do together, how you're going to spend your time, daydreaming about how wonderful it's going to be. Enjoy that, because it most cases it's probably going to be fine. You know, you probably are going to hit it off and it's going to be everything you hoped for, probably.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important to plan things that you want to do, because even if it is amazing, there might be a little bit of shy awkwardness depending what you're like. You know, you and I are both quite outgoing and open people, so there wasn't really any, the first maybe half an hour was a bit like, eh. But for some people that period might be a little bit longer, so I think,
yeah, because there's the awkwardness of our first kiss, because you just you're not 100% sure what the other person's thinking, and that's maybe the thing with long distances, there's a slight pressure always because you've built up a certain relationship online,
mm-hmm.
and there's that feeling out period of how do they feel about this offline.
Yeah. It's basically what you have in a normal dating circumstance. They want me to kiss them, but it's got a lot more pressure on it because you've been waiting and a lot's been building up around it.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, maybe just have some activities planned for the first day. You know, say, oh, what is there in your area? You know, maybe we should have a little outing. We didn't really do anything my first day because I was so jet lagged. But I think that, yeah, just having some things planned. But we did... I did research a lot of the things that there were to do here. So we did have a lot planned over the course of the trip. I mean, it was like the biggest vacation I'd ever had combined with meeting you for the first time. So make the most of it. I mean, maybe, you know, I'm quite lucky in that, you know, Rich lived outside of one of the most interesting cities in the world, you know, London, but maybe not everywhere is that way, but just see what there is in the area.
Yeah. Imagine meeting somebody who lives in like Cornwall.
Well, that's beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it's a bit boring. Isn't it?
Well, there's probably lots
there's of... There's a lot of cider to drink, probably and the water's there.
Probably lots of, like, nature-y things to do, and I'm sure there's fun, like, outdoor activities and stuff like that if you're an outdoorsy person.
Hasn't got Oxford Street, though.
No. But I think another thing that's important to do is talk about any concerns you do have with each other. Just, and this is not necessarily the safety thing. Just, oh, I'm nervous that I'm going to be really shy, or I'm nervous you're not going to think I'm as this or that as you think I am. Be really open and honest with each other and get everything out. I think what happened with us is that in the months leading up to it, because I came to visit in June and I think I booked my ticket in February. So we had, what is that, like five-ish months to think about it and wait and build it all up. But I can't remember where I was going at that point.
Talking, planning.
Oh yeah. So when it got down to like crunch time, so yeah, I had months and months to daydream. And then when it got to be about 2 or 3 weeks out, I was like, holy shit, I'm meeting this person. Like, I had an app on my phone that was counting down the days, and all I had been was excited. And then I thought, oh my God, like, this might not be what we think.
Didn't I have that picture of me in that pink top hat?
Yeah, I think it did.
I have to share that
one. Yeah, we should share that one. Yes, I mean, I think these had always been conversations we had had, like, oh, do you think it's going to be what we hope it's going to be and all that, but it really started hitting me, and then just the nervousness of it, like, oh my God, is he going to think I'm, you know, is he going to be attracted to me, and I'm so nervous to actually see him when I walk off the plane, and I started getting, like, actual anxiety about it, and it was taking off some of the excitement, and I had to talk to one of my really good friends, you know, Brittany.
Imagine, like, meeting in the airport thinking, oh, you are not what I was expecting.
Exactly.
Turn around, go on the next flight.
Go back. Well, that's so mean. So I think you just need to find ways to keep calm. Like I said, talk to your friends. If your family's cool with it and has been supportive, talk to them.
Also nowadays, like we've mentioned before, how there's more long distance relationships now. The world's a small place. But like we both know friends who've moved to other countries. That maybe part of this planning situation and stuff is, maybe you know someone who's also in this country at the same time, you know,
yeah, maybe.
Have a plan to, do you know, if this doesn't work out, can I come and stay with you? Or maybe I'll see you anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just,
it's maybe more likely that you'll have people who you're familiar with now than 10 years ago when we did it. And
yeah, maybe.
If that's the case for you, especially if you're going, you know, if some of the people who we talk to online, they're maybe more obscure countries. But if you're certainly going somewhere like London, America, you know, mainland Europe.
France, yeah.
Australia, even. You're probably going to, well, not probably. You
could.
There's a better chance that you will know someone there at the same time.
Well, that depends on your age as well. I think now that we're a little bit older, we know people all over the world. Like, I was talking to someone that I saw on Facebook the other day, and someone we went to school with is actually in London, and I had no idea about it. But I think if you're just out of college or you're in college and you're doing it, people probably haven't had as much time to spread around. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that might, it just about, I think age may have something
does,
to do
yeah,
with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think in terms of preparing, just be really open with each other. You know, we had concerns and we talked about them.
Yeah, we did talk about them. I mean, you have to.
Yeah.
You know, we've always said that the big benefit of long distance is the communication and how you can talk. So make that part of the conversation.
Yeah, and I think don't be afraid to admit that you're afraid to the person. Like, you may feel like you have to put on this really brave face, and you may be concerned that by expressing that you're scared, they might think that you're getting cold feet. Like, just express, like, I'm not getting cold feet, but I'm really, really scared. And, you know, if this person's going to be your significant other and you're going to be in a long-distance relationship with them, they need to get ready to start reassuring you about things and vice versa. So what better time to start than before you actually meet? Like, you know, you had to reassure me on stuff and I probably had to reassure you on a few things. So yeah, just need to talk about whatever's scaring you for sure. Anything else you have to say on that point?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So then the other point was kind of addressing family concerns. And this is something that I can certainly relate to. Because, again, like I said, I was 20 years old, so I was in a similar situation. I was technically an adult, but I was very young. So my parents couldn't really stop me, you know, as long as I had the money to pay for it. Mm-hmm. But I think if I had been young, I mean, I know if I'd been younger and, you know, needed them to help me with it, they would not have allowed it.
Yeah, I mean, it is a big deal, especially for you where you weren't saying, I'm going 200 miles away, it's a long drive, I can come back. Like, you were flying a long
way. Further than I ever had before. And I think the first time around, because if you've listened to our story, you'll know that there was an initial attempt to meet that never actually happened when we were 20. And then we actually did meet when we were 23. So the first time around, like I said, it was a little bit more straightforward. My parents just wanted to talk to his parents. They thought, you know, this is a bit silly. Just be really careful, be really smart. You know, but I think they also knew that, like, your parents were in the house and stuff, and they talked to them. So maybe there was some reassurance there. But maybe let your parents do that. You know, talk to him, talk mm-hmm. to, or him or her, whoever the person is you're meeting, their family, their friends, you know, whatever, and just get to know them a little bit. That might help them feel a little bit more at ease about it. Now, the second time around was a little bit more complicated because, obviously, we ended up not meeting the first time. I was very hurt. So my parents, first of all, were a bit protective of why are you putting yourself in a position again to meet this person who's hurt you.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I had like no support on that the second time around to start with. My parents thought it was crazy of me. My mom told me you're crazy when I booked the ticket. With quite a bit of disgust in her voice. And my brother was like, I just don't see why you're doing this. Why are you putting yourself out to meet someone thousands of miles away who hurt you? There's plenty of nice guys more local that haven't. Like, what's the point?
And I think beyond that, and this isn't a criticism of it, it's just a lot of people like this, where if you're quite risk averse, you might think, well, why would you take that risk? Yeah. There are people here.
I think, I don't know if it was so much...
And you're risk averse. I mean, you know, it was a big thing for you to do. Looking back, it's like it's quite surprising that you did it in a way.
I think everyone probably thought a bit, you know, why the distance thing, but it was more this person's hurt you, and it's a big deal for you. So
yeah,
why
that
do?
Was added on top.
Yeah, sure. So yeah. I think that was a lot of it as well. But I think just try and. You know, obviously you're not going to want to tell your family everything that's happening in your relationship, whether you're local or long distance. So you don't need to do that. But maybe just talk to them a little bit about the person if you feel like your family's concerned. Like, oh, this is what he's doing and studying in school, or this is what his job is. This is what he wants in life. To make them more like a three-dimensional person. And I think parents always are concerned, you know, about if this is – even if they're not a bad person, are they like a prospect? You know, parents want the best – for their kids. Like I remember and grandparents too, because I remember your granddad was around before I was coming over to meet, and he didn't really know anything about the situation because obviously he didn't live local to you and stuff. And when he found out that there was
local,
not when you lived in Sussex.
Oh no.
And I think he was staying with you and he heard about me coming and he goes, like, who is this person? What do they do? And you said, oh, she's this, she's that, she's a teacher. And he thought, oh, okay. Like, he had a few details about me. Well, she's a teacher. She must have her shit together.
He lived local when we had that conversation because I was at his house and I said where you were from and he'd been to Yuma. So he started telling about the prison and because him and my nan did this big trip of like the West Coast years before.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have been local to you when I was teaching because that was the second time we talked and you lived in Bognor then.
Oh, okay. Maybe he knew who you were because previously he had told him about.
Okay.
That. So he'd been to where you lived. And.
But I'm just saying, like, hearing that I had a decent job.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So he'd like, been to where you lived and everything. Not your house, but he'd been to your town. And so, yeah, it's much more tangible.
Yeah. So that might just be something. I don't think my parents actually ever talked to you, did they?
I spoke to your dad when you visited.
On the phone?
Yeah.
Like, when I was here?
Yeah, not before.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe... That could be something people could look into, actually talking to family members and stuff before, or even just if you're FaceTiming, turn the camera, say, oh, there's my dad or there's my brother, or, you know, whatever, just to make people feel like they know what's going on. Because like one thing I know, obviously this is moving ahead of kind of the scenario a little bit, but, you know, when Rich came back to live with us, stay with me and my family in the States, I was still living at home. So he lived with my parents in our house for like almost 6 months. And my dad has said how much he values that because otherwise he wouldn't have gotten to know you very well before I left. He wouldn't have had time to get to know you as a person and know that you really cared about me and you wanted the best for me and that you would find a way to support me, you know, like that you were worth someone that I could marry kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's what probably the concern comes from for parents. You know, they just want to make sure you're okay. And I mean, if your parents didn't have concern,
that's a concern.
That's a concern. Yeah, I'd be worried. Like, a good parent should do that. They can make things difficult for you, but it's hard for them. And like, I know what my mom went through when I moved, and you know, I know how much everyone, including myself, hates how much I miss out on. And those might be things that are going through your parents' mind, you know, this, you could be moving, this could not be safe. So just try and put yourself in their shoes a little bit and think, if I were in this situation, what would I need to know? What would I need to hear? What would I need to see to know that this isn't a bad situation? And I think, especially going into it the first time, like this listener who wrote in, I think you need to show your parents that you do maybe have a backup plan or an idea for what you'll do if things don't go according to plan. And it'll make them feel better that you're thinking about your safety, or not, again, it may not be a safety thing. You just might not hit it off the way you hope to.
Yeah.
So I think just,
it shows you're being responsible. Mature and grown up about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So just let them know, like, show them that you're being pragmatic about it. And if you're not being pragmatic, you should be.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. It may not be the romance story of the year, you know, or whatever. You may just feel insecure and want to get away. So include them in whatever plans you are making, and definitely make some backup plans. And that's kind of what I have to say about family stuff.
Just going back, this is probably more to the first we were talking about.
Safety.
It's not so much safety, but having separate rooms and accommodation and plan stuff. You know, part of the conversation we had was sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because, you know, I think expectations might be different.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly would have, I would have been up for it when we got back from the airport, and you'd put boundaries and
yeah,
said, I'm not doing it the first day. Okay, we waited till like first thing the next morning. But
yeah,
you,
but also I, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
But you know, I knew in advance what to expect. What you'd said, look, I'm not flying 5,000 miles and jumping straight into bed.
Yeah, I think my main thing for that at the time was I didn't want to feel like, I hate to say slut, because I don't think that if you have sex with someone straight away, that necessarily makes you a slut. But I think at the time that was my concern. I was young. I had different ideas about sex. And like I also told, like,
well, and also having, at the time I hadn't done, I think I've been to Canada. I hadn't flown internationally much. And you know, so jet lag was new to me. But now having done that trip a few times, and I know how exhausting it is when you land, the idea of having sex after flying for 12 hours. And
well, at that time, it wasn't like, so, okay, so I did get there, and I think physically I wanted to have it. Like, I probably would have if I hadn't set that expectation for myself not to. Like, the jet lag didn't bother me. I was so hyped up meeting you. It was so exciting. We were so loved up. But I think, so really, I think the reason I set that boundary was because I didn't want to feel like I just jumped straight into bed with this guy. But now, actually looking back, I'm glad I didn't, because there can be a lot around meeting, and there can be a lot of, especially if you're very physically attracted to each other, and you can tell that from pictures and FaceTime and probably some dirty photos you've sent. You know, you have a good idea that you're attracted to this person, but sometimes it's good to not act on that and just make sure that the other areas are compatible. You know, like, we snuggled so much, and I realized in that first day how well we fit together and how...
Yeah, and I still think it's sometimes it's beneficial to have the sex a little bit later, so you can get some closeness.
And that's what I'm saying.
We
flirted, we touched, we kissed, we snuggled, we talked.
When you have sex, it does change the dynamic a bit.
I think for us it was only for the better, though.
Yeah, but I mean, if you were to do it straight away, then it's like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I think if you do it immediately, you can't undo having sex. And then it's like, only cuddling me now because we've just had sex and all that kind of stuff. I think it's good to do some of that stuff first. But whatever, I mean, that's...
Well, you're making it sound like we waited. It was less than 24 hours. Like,
We waited the evening, really.
Well, we got back here back to your house afternoon, and then the very first thing the next morning.
No, I know, but I mean, we still had that evening where, like you said, you were able to flirt and touch and cuddle and everything.
You watched movies and stuff, and...
But more, you know, everyone do what you're comfortable with, but the point I'm making is that you had set a boundary.
Yeah,
definitely. It had been part of the conversation of, sex is going to come up during your trip.
Absolutely.
We're either going to want to do it or we're not going to want to do it, and it's going to be come up in conversation. So we made a conversation in advance. I think that should be part of your planning. Just say, look, if we're both up for it, do you want to do it immediately? If you don't, be honest about it.
Yeah, that's really important. That's a good point to make. And other boundaries too. I can't think of any that aren't sexual, but if you... Huh? Well, no, I'm off the top of my head. That's all I mean. Like, I don't know what that might be, but if there's anything else you just want
to... Well, maybe one of the boundaries is, you know, I don't want to meet all your friends immediately and be quite overwhelmed, and because you can be a bit of a spectacle. It's like, oh, you're the person who's traveled all this way. You have been talking to him for years or her for years, and, you know, suddenly you're getting the Inquisition over who you are, where you've come from.
Yes, very good point.
I don't want to meet 10 people, you know.
Well, and you set that boundary with your mom and your stepdad, because at the time that we met, Rich didn't drive, so his mom and stepdad came to the airport with him, but they were not there when we met. They were sitting in some coffee shop, and it was just Rich waiting for me. And
yeah, I mean, my mom's, like, very understanding and respectful, so...
But she's also very chatty and a big presence.
Yeah, so it was, they drove me to the airport and then they said, we'll leave you to it. Give us a call when you're ready to go home. And we did. And then when we got back to the house, they're like, okay, we're going to go out. And they went out for hours and they gave us the space. Mm-hmm. They probably thought we wanted to have sex, but you'd already set that boundary, so we didn't.
I just took a shower. I was dying to take a shower.
Yeah, so yeah, they're respectful of that. And not all, your parents certainly would have said, we're going to leave you alone.
Oh, yeah, God knows what would happen if it had been the other way around.
Sex in your house was...
It was a covert operation.
It was like a military thing. It was like, right, they're out, let's go. You know.
Planned our week around it.
Yeah, it was... So, you know, we were fortunate in that we were given space where not everyone will get that. So, you know, we didn't have to ask them to go out. They just did. But you'd have to just take it as it comes. But, yeah, we were given the space.
Yeah, and that is something.
In the meeting and everything.
Yeah, and even the rest of the time, like, I think they went out for that afternoon, that evening. We all had, like, fish and chips together.
Yeah.
And so we had the evening, like, I think we watched some TV with them, but then you and I went into the other TV room, like, the living room, and we watched Toy Story 3. And just had time together and really got to be affectionate, which we really... had been waiting a long, 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 long time to do, which most people have in that situation. And then the next day they had a wedding to go to, so that worked out pretty well. They had a wedding to go to in Chichester, so they dropped us in town and we had the day out, and maybe it was a couple days later.
Did we play snooker?
Maybe.
I think we went to the club.
Maybe, no, actually.
Because you thought it was all romantic because I was doing that thing where, like, I'd put my arms around you and guide the queue.
No, I got here on a Wednesday. We didn't do anything on the Thursday because I was so jet lagged. Maybe I don't know.
Sex on the Thursday.
Well, whatever. I got here on a Thursday. The Friday, your mom went to work, and it was just like Andy was about because he was unemployed at the time, looking for he'd been laid off.
Was he?
Yeah. Because remember, you scared the crap out of me and then said, "Oh, Andy's lost his job.
He's gonna pick you up.
He's gonna be the one picking up from the airport." Because you said you and your mom had some meeting to go to or something.
I like to lie to Andrea just to see what her reaction will be.
Like when you told me your penis was only 2 inches.
3 inches.
Hard.
Yeah.
Not to shame anyone who... But yeah, you liked...
I needed to make sure that you...
He liked to test me and it pissed me off.
Yeah, well, I needed to...
You're manipulating me.
I needed to make sure that you weren't shallow.
Look, I think if a girl's going without it for months and months, waiting for a guy on the other side of the world, she's not going to be shallow.
But then
you're
going to be disappointed when it's only 3 inches.
Well, anyone would be, let's be honest.
So, so I said... that I couldn't come to the airport to pick you up, so my stepdad had come and get you.
This is basically what not to do leading up to meeting, if you're getting that from us. So boundaries.
So
are
you're
good.
Like, what?
I was like, well, is it?
Is what it?
What?
Is it what?
When you said, what would you, wait, are we still talking about the...
Oh, you're back on the penis thing. I thought my stepdad picking you up.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
I like to just see your reaction to things.
You don't do as much as you used to, thankfully, because it pisses me off.
But yeah, like so we hadn't had arguments or anything like that, so it's like, you're like, no, I'm not coming all the way over there for you not to pick me up.
I didn't do that.
You did, you were like...
Oh, sorry, we're still talking about...
Why do you keep thinking about dicks?
I don't know, because I think about it.
She loves the dick.
Yeah, that really fucked me off. And I was like, I'm not coming and having, like, orange taxi. Like, I just didn't want to have quietness.
And then I was like, I'm only joking.
I was so mad at you. I remember I was at work and it was like lunchtime because I was teaching and I was just like freaking out and it gave me real anxiety. You never gave a shit about how your games made me feel. It fucked me right off. And I'm really mad at you again because of that thing you did 10 years ago. Anyways, next is kind of just actual travel tips and stuff. One thing I did is I had a notebook with me on the plane because I thought, you know, if I get anxious or anything, just want to remember what's happening, how I'm feeling. That was quite nice. I don't know where that notebook is now, but I liked that I had it at the time. Another thing you can do, one thing you might be concerned about, particularly if you're flying a long distance, is how you're going to look when you meet. So there are a few things for girls. Maybe you could give, I don't know if you have any ideas for boys, but for girls, I would recommend having the following things available in either a big handbag or on your carry-on: deodorant, toothbrush and toothpaste, a couple, maybe like a makeup pack of makeup wipes so you can quickly redo your makeup before you land, dry shampoo, and a brush. Those are the things that I had with me. Like an hour before we landed, I went into the bathroom, quickly brushed my teeth, wiped off my makeup and reapplied it, and put some dry shampoo in my hair to make it look as decent as I could, because it had been a long time, because I think I had a layover that time, so it'd probably been like 18 hours.
Yeah, you're in Canada.
Yeah, I flew from LA in the afternoon, so I woke up at a normal time in the morning, probably washed my hair and did my makeup, then went to the airport, took off in the afternoon, flew to Canada, got on a plane in Canada at night to then go to Los Angeles, and got there mid-morning. So yeah, it'd probably been about...
You didn't do LA to Canada, back to LA.
Yeah, just a little trip. It was fun.
Where'd you go? Just had a layover.
Yeah, I just went to Calgary and back. Had some dinner. So it had been about 18 hours, and I really wanted to look good because it was the first time we were meeting. So the next time I went to see him, I didn't feel quite as pressured. You know, I probably didn't worry about my hair as much. I probably just worried more about my makeup and my breath, you know. So
I think, yeah, look, shower before you get on the plane. Take some deodorant and some... a travel toothbrush
for men.
For men, yeah. Like, although I mentioned the other day, didn't I, there's that stuff you can buy now to, like, it's like a moisturizer thing, but it's to clean your balls.
Did we talk about this?
Yeah, you were just falling asleep, maybe you weren't.
Yeah, telling me weird stuff that you think I'm gonna give.
Someone put it on, I saw it on some social thing, but basically, yeah, there's this like cleaning product, and it just says on the label, like, put it on your balls.
Yeah,
so it's just like a fresh. So if you haven't had the boundary that you're not getting any on the first day,
based on how dirty travel balls can smell, if the boy is coming to you, definitely make sure that you have a next day sex rule, because balls get gross.
So yeah, maybe some of this ball cleaner, but otherwise toothbrush, deodorant,
a good book or good headphones for the trip. I think just trying and think of ways that you can keep yourself occupied, because you probably will be quite hyper or nervous or excited or all of them at once probably on the trip. And just having things, magazines are always good. I mean, pretty much is how you would try and keep yourself occupied in a normal flight, but make sure you have those things that make you feel like makeup and stuff or whatever, you know, so you feel like you're putting your best foot forward in the circumstances.
And then as far as planning before you get there, because I think it could be two different things. One of it, you might enjoy the process of planning a trip together. Like, I want to see you here. And that being something you do together. But then equally, maybe some people want the other person to be the tour guide.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want to see...
We did a mixture of that, didn't we?
Yeah,
like, we did a mixture. I had said, I really want to see London. I want to book us a couple nights in London. And I kind of want to see these things, but show me what else you want to see. Like, I knew I wanted to see, like, Westminster and the Tower of London, but obviously you wanted to show me Camden and other areas that I didn't.
And we went on some castle tours that you wanted to go to.
Yeah. And we really planned the whole trip around it. And also, because Rich's parents are separated, we had to plan to go see, you know, his dad in a separate town and stuff like that.
But then where you extended your trip, and we didn't have plans the second 2 weeks, I think that was much more sort of free-flowing.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we packed a lot in for the first 2 weeks, and it was exhausting. And then, yeah, if you've listened to episode one, you'll know that within the first week, I had decided, like, I'm not going back yet. I want to extend my trip. So we did that. And, so the second 2 weeks were a lot more just hanging out, spending time together, little day trips, watching movies, sex, definitely. And then some spontaneous stuff, which is really fun. So maybe try and make, it depends, you know, not everybody will be able to stay for a month. Some people might only be a long weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we were very, very fortunate with our jobs, but it was more the point that we had a mixture, like you said, of we've planned to do this together, and then this is just more
Yeah, and I think we really liked that. Obviously, I was very, I had always been interested in England and always wanted to come to England and see it my whole life before I even started talking to Rich. So I was excited from like a tourist perspective to see Westminster Abbey and Hampton Court and all these things I really loved. But also doing things that excite you with your partner or significant other make it just so much more exciting. Like even now when we have a day planned out, I get super duper excited. We get even more loved up than we normally are. Like it's just really nice to do that. And one thing you really loved, because I've always loved like Tudor history and Henry VIII and stuff like that. And I said, I definitely want to go to Hampton Court. And we got there and you were like, oh, did you want to rent one of those like audio tours that you can carry? I was like, no, no, we don't need that. And you were just blown away by how much I knew about it.
Yeah.
And so it's a fun way to do things together than to learn a little bit more about each other. Like, so now Rich knew, wow, she really loves history and she knows a lot about this. And yeah, you just get to learn a little bit more about each other. And then we also discovered on that day that I can't actually do long division.
Yes, we did discover that. After much bragging
about
how you were going to teach me, because you were a math teacher.
Yeah, but I taught.
I can teach you long division. It's easy.
God bless those kids I taught, but they weren't the highest achieving math kids.
We both realized we don't know long division that day.
I do blame it on the numbers I picked. Like now, I probably couldn't do it because it's been years since I did it. But yeah. Anyway, I mean that's I think. Is there anything else you think
we need? What else is on the list?
Well, it was pretty much the travel tips, getting your family on board, and preparing to meet.
And then we had, the catfishing?
We talked about that.
Which we've done. Hold on, I've closed Instagram now. I'm raising a separate accommodation. Yeah, I mean, I think that's all I can think of.
Yeah. But mostly just enjoy it and be excited because, like we said, for the most part, especially if you've been talking for quite a long time, it's probably going to be awesome and amazing. Mm-hmm. And he or she's going to be everything or more that you imagined. And you know what? To be completely honest, from my perspective, things changed after we met for the first time.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in a bad way, because at least we knew there wasn't that wondering of, oh, are we going to like each other? No, sorry, that wondering of, oh, what's it going to be like? And all the excitement and the daydreaming. But it got a lot harder because then we knew, okay, I am super invested in this person. We have to figure this out. And then you have the, holy shit, yeah, I don't have to think about meeting anymore. I have to think about making a long distance actual relationship work and one day closing the distance. So, you know.
It changes the dynamic.
It does. It gets a little bit scarier and there's just a lot more weight on all of it. And that can be hard. So just enjoy the time leading up. Like I think back on that as some of the most exciting and romantic times and the things we'd say to each other, you know, it was wonderful. You know, I obviously would never have wanted it to be that we didn't meet and all that, but it just does add a new element and make things a bit more serious once you've met. And then you need to try and figure out how to keep it going.
Yeah.
But then you have the next meeting to look forward to. And that maybe that's something to address too, actually. Like, I don't know, this could be an entire episode. Like,
what?
After you've met.
Yeah, we don't want to put people off doing it, though.
No, none of that. Just how to deal with it. You know, saying goodbye. Saying goodbye and then waiting and trying to organize your next meeting. I mean, we had...
I've had a month of sex and then there's no sex.
That's all you cared about, jerk. Yeah, shoot. Maybe... I don't know if we need to address it. It's like getting ready to say goodbye.
No, I think let everyone figure that out for themselves.
Okay. We do plan these, but then as we talk, we think of things like, oh, wait, this too.
Yeah, I mean, saying goodbye is not nice.
No, but maybe, as I was saying, you know, things do get a little bit scarier and harder once you've met and then you're separated. But one thing that really helps is knowing when you're going to see each other again, even if you haven't booked it yet. If you have, right, we're going to aim for Easter or, you know, whatever you're going to aim for, because we had no idea when we were going to see each other again to start with.
Yeah.
I went home in late
June.
July. because I got there in late June and I left it in late July.
That's right.
And then if you've listened to the original episode, to the our story in episode one, you know that Rich's family at the time was thinking about immigrating to Canada. So everything was up in the air in terms of where they were going to be at Christmas and stuff. And I didn't book anything for a while, but then it got to like September and we thought, well, it seems pretty unlikely that you're going to be out there for Christmas. So I'm going to book. And you said, well, even if we are moved out there, I can arrange to be home like at my dad's at Christmas or something. So in September, I think on your birthday, actually, I booked my tickets to come home or to come back to see you at Christmas. And that did help a bit to know, okay, now I have another countdown. And then it kind of goes back to how it was before, like just the daydreaming and the being excited and planning what we're going to do together. And
yeah,
long distance relationships are like the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, really. But
yeah,
it's so exciting planning and meeting for the first time. And be safe, be smart, have a backup plan, make fun plans together, keep your family included on, you know, what you're planning to do, who this person is, and just enjoy it. You know, it can be a big scary thing, but as long as you're smart, it shouldn't have to be, really.
Yeah, so I think that's it.
I think that wraps it up for episode 16.
So if you have any episode ideas, things just to questions. Cover, questions, whatever, send us an email or we get a lot of Instagram messages. You can tweet us. So the website's longdistancetomarriage.com.
And we broke 3,000 listens the other day, yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
Very exciting. I can't believe people want to listen to us just talk rubbish 3,000 times, but that's awesome.
So yeah, longdistancemarriage.com. We've got a contact form on there. We get the emails. We are Mr. and Mrs. Distance on Instagram.
Those are the main
two. It's similar on Twitter, but there's some underscores in there. But yeah, you can reach us. We do read it. You can ask us your questions.
And not every question necessarily has to be an episode. So don't feel like your questions have to have a lot of points or, you know, anything like that. Sometimes we'll just come back to you straight away with a little message. But we thought this was one question that would make a really good episode. So we pushed that up the content list. Other announcements. We ordered a microphone. We're getting some.
So our quality is going to go up.
Yeah, we ordered some equipment. We thought, okay, we've made 16 episodes. People are still listening. Our numbers are growing. Maybe we should invest a little bit more into this. So we've ordered a microphone. We're going to be doing some other bits. We actually have a room in our house that we're going to convert into a little studio. That's a bigger project over the course of probably the next few months. So yeah, we have some exciting things happening. Going to get you some better quality episodes in terms of sound. And hopefully you won't always have to hear our dogs in the background.
And does anyone want to see these as videos?
Oh, God.
Because you'd have to stop wearing your pajamas to film
them. I'm only sometimes in my pajamas. maybe next year we'll do a video.
Next year's only January.
I know, but man, it takes me a long time to look pretty. It takes me a whole year to start my face out. But yeah, please keep the questions coming. Let us know how you guys are doing. We like hearing your stories, even if it's not a question. We're really loving being a part of this community and having a really good time with it. So keep us updated on what you guys are doing. And we hope you guys have a great week. Bye.
Bye.